Okay, Parsha Shlach. Of course, Parsha Shlach begins with the understanding and the command, Shlach Lecha and Hashem, the responsibility that the Jews had to send spies. Moshe Rabbeinu was told by God to send spies for himself if he wants to. And Rashi notes the connection between the stories of the spies and that of Miriam. And he notes that the stories, the connection comes from the fact that the Meraglim, the spies, should have seen what happened to Miriam when she spoke about her brother. And the fact is that they should have seen her be punished, and they did nothing about it. Rav Shteinman Shlita asks the question, how could a lesson about Lashon Hara be applied from the situation of Miriam, who spoke about a human being, about her brother, and how were they supposed to extrapolate that to the case of telling Lashon Hara about an inanimate object like the land? Nowhere do we find that a person can not tell Lashon Hara about the land, except from the Meraglim. Rav Shteinman explains that although the transgression might not be the same, the concept that leads to the transgression is. Namely, people need to learn that when they hold their tongues, they're saving themselves from tzaros. Shomer pivu l'shono, shomer mitzaros l'afsho. And whether or not the intent was evil or rose to a level of a punishable transgression, the person who's careful with what comes out of the mouth gets away without the tzaros. And that's the lesson that the Meraglim should have taken. They should have seen that Miriam, good-intentioned as she was, quite honestly, did not get away without speaking Lashon Hara. And they were doomed to the same failure by not being careful with their tongues. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, the Meraglim Aluza Negev, be careful, go up through the Negev, and check out, Hayesh Ba'itzim Ayin, is there a tree in the land or not? And the question is to be raised, why is it that they're told to check the land out from all sorts of other physical desires? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu ever point out the primary reason to check out the land? To identify Kedusha Sa'aretz. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman quotes the Arvei Nachal, who explains that wherever Klal Yisrael camped, they camped Al Pi Hashem. And the place where they camped Al Pi Hashem had the status of Kedusha Sa'aretz Yisrael. And so therefore, when the spies were to spy out the land, they wouldn't need to move to Eretz Yisrael to achieve Kedusha Sa'aretz. So therefore, Moshe didn't tell them to check out if there was Kedusha Sa'aretz. In fact, according to the Mefarshim, the Meraglim wanted to keep the Jews out of the land in order to preserve Kedusha Sa'aretz, and that they felt would be lost when the people would have to go out and go to work. And this idea may explain why the Gemara notes that in the future, the Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos will go to Eretz Yisrael. The idea is that they too will go home to rejoin the rest of the land from within which they are a piece. In other words, that through the fact is, through the process, the people will come to realize that the shuls and the Bate Medrash are places, Al Pi Hashem, of Kedusha Sa'aretz. Anyway, so the Meraglim go, Vayalu Banegev, Vayavo at Chevron. They went up in the south, through the south, and he came to Chevron, and Rashi notes that the he refers to Kalev, and Kalev alone went to Chevron, and he prostrated himself upon the Kivrei Avos in Chevron at Maras HaMachpelah, and he said that he davened for assistance and decided that he wasn't going to be able to be swayed from the council of the Meraglim. Rav Shimon Kerner, one of the Rebbeim at MTA, once pointed out that Rashi is teaching us a valuable lesson in terms of confronting negative peer pressure. First thing that one needs to realize is the power of prayer. The fact of the matter is that when an individual needs inner courage and inner strength, he gets it through sincere prayer. Additionally, by choosing the burial site of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of Sarah, Rivka, and Leah, Kalev was also noting that the numbers of people who withstand peer pressure successfully might right now be in few. But the number of people who withstand peer pressure successfully, mark those who continue to highlight heroically Jewish history and world history worldwide. So to go ahead and go to Hebron, Kalev was withstanding peer pressure by reminding himself of the fact that he can withstand it, and by praying for the fortitude to be able to do so. The Meraglim come back and they say that the land is a land, Eretz Ocheles Yoshvahi, it's a land that consumes its inhabitants. And Rashi explains that the Meraglim saw many funerals while they were there. And this was done at the direction of Hashem, who created those funerals in order to deflect attention away from the Meraglim. However, instead of seeing this as fortuitous, the Meraglim saw it as a danger. Sabato Shalita asks the question and notes that the concept, that of a land that consumes the people, is one that seems to be tied to the land of Israel in other instances as well. He cites Yechezkel Perek Lamed Vav as an example. Why then does it get used by the nations of the world in such a negative manner? Eretz Ocheles Yoshvea. Rav Sabato explains that when Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish sovereignty, it thrives. But unfortunately, when it's not under Jewish sovereignty, the level of growth is destructive in totality. For when we're under Jewish sovereignty, then the name of Hashem can be associated with the land. That, of course, assumes that the Jewish sovereign chooses to recognize the source of the prosperity. However, the Jewish people, like their non-Jewish counterparts, cannot allow the name of Hashem to reign, God forbid, then the land and its brachos will consume the people sitting on the land. Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha means that if you don't have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing in front of you, the land will overconsume you, take you over, and destroy you. The bottom line is that when God goes ahead and gets involved with Moshe Rabbeinu, he makes the declaration, Ve'ulam chayani v'umalei kvod Hashem es kol ha'aretz, and the glory of Hashem fills the world. And Rav Asher White's Shalita notes that the issue of recognizing kavod Hashem here is relevant, because there are two distinct ways that Hashem's glory can be felt throughout the world. The first way that we feel Hashem's glory is when we accept His direction without question. And this was an opportunity that the Jews would also fail at, ultimately. At the same time, the other option for Kabbalah Shamayim throughout the world, right, is to scatter the Jews in the exile and have the glory of Hashem recognized as we experience the miraculous survival of the Jew throughout the world in the diaspora. God basically tells us that the fact is we failed at the first mission. And so therefore, Malei Chavod Hashem Es Kol Haaretz, God is going to create a situation of exile in the future. This might explain why this is the punishment specifically over here, where we're told, Atem Bechisem Bechia Shachinam, V'ani Atein Lachem Bechia Ledoros, who gave up on the faith aspect, taking the first step of bringing Kavod Shamayim. So in the future, when that process will come up, Ani atein lechem b'chiyah l'doros, I'll give you something to cry about. We sometimes need to realize that our opportunity to declare faith in Hashem is something we should seize right away. There is a declaration made, Al masai la'eda hara hazos, how much longer for this evil eda? It's interesting, you know, for the source of minyan and the source of farhesia, we learn from the example of the Meraglim. Why not use the examples from more positive experiences? Why are we using the Eda Hara to teach us about Minyan? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter always noted that there's one group that had entered the land of Israel, the 12 Meraglim. And the fact of the matter is that Kiddush Hashem B'Rabim applies first to those living in Eretz Yisrael. And as a result, the Eda that had the first opportunity to be those who were Bai Ha'aretz, those are the ones that continue to provide us with the source of Torah living. Eda, yes, but it was an Eda Hara. Finally, towards the end of the parasha, we'll deal with the issue of the parasha of Tzitzis, and we're told, Re'itzem oso, you'll see it, Ushchaitem es kol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem osam, and you'll do it. And the question has to be raised, why is the seeing, Re'itzem oso, so critical to remembering the mitzvos of Hashem? Of Zadel Epstein's Atzal notes that through the process of visualization, we make Torah lively. When we stop to see the Torah and experience it, which is associated with that concept of seeing, we become a part of the Torah living process, and therefore we're able to serve Hashem best. And complete final statement, we will read the Haftorah of a different group of Meraglim, in the story of the Meraglim that went in the days of Yehoshua. Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger notes that the battle between Bnei Yisrael and the 31 kings that they would ultimately have to capture is really not one of a physical nature alone. Rather, in the course of the battle, they would also have to fight a spiritual battle. In regard to the spiritual struggle, many would have argued that they had they been born under the right circumstances, they too would have served Hashem. However, the lesson of the Meraglim of Yoshua's time is that when one has a shlichus, a life's mission, a mission, as we all do, then every day and every life is the optimal one for a person to be messenger for Gilui Hashem Ba'olamo. Each person who dedicates himself to his mission in life first is sure to live a fulfilling life. Thus, Rachav HaZona, if she was indeed a Zona, had the opportunity to turn her life around. And she created a responsibility and a hischaivos for future generations as well. We take what we have from God and His gifts, optimum or otherwise, and turn them back to Him, Leman Shemo. This is similar to the idea that Rav Govich Zatzal used to say to us all the time, that the Meraglim wanted an ideal Bias Ha'aretz. And what they failed to realize is the ideal Bias Ha'aretz is the one that is the one that we get from God. And so therefore, by definition, we continue to grow. Shabbat Shalom to all.